Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. And we will start our reading this morning at verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month, at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whoso ever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take ye a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel in two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land, which the Lord will give you according to as he has promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. This day shall be unto you a memorial. On the 10th day of Abib, a word or time signifying new ears of corn, the new beginning of the Jewish religious year is set up. It is the time when the spring equinox, when nature springs forth in new growth or new life. This being 430 from the confirmation of the covenant, we see in the preceding verses in this chapter read that Yahweh, outlining his invitation to the people to separate themselves as a people unto himself. The year's beginning is changed to indicate a new commencement for Israel. Details are given in observance of the Passover by which Israel would escape certain death if they were obedient. An exacting ritual is set forth in this chapter, outlining what they must do not only to save the firstborn of every family, but so by this lesson, generations following after would be able to understand, and they themselves would be able to understand the spiritual significance of this memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever, much like the service we are here to partake of today, brethren. Yahweh's Passover. As a memorial, the Passover was not designed merely to recall to mind the great deliverance effected in the Exodus from Egypt, but to awaken the mind to the significance of what was done in the symbols set forth therein. The lamb, the blood, the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread, in total consumption of the sacrifice, flesh, was all a lesson pointing towards a future event that would bring salvation also. It was to reaffirm the principle of atonement taught early in the garden and culminating in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. What I want to look at today is a very small section of this event, that dealing with the eating of unleavened bread or the setting up of the unleavened bread, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. This is only a reminder, since most of us understand the concept of leaven in its physical aspects and its influence. There are 7 verses that mention the word leaven or unleavened in this chapter alone, and 70 in Scripture deal with these two particular words. But we realize that blood is of utmost importance here in relationship to salvation. It always has been from the garden. The influence of leaven would teach a most important lesson. Exodus 12:15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So, in partaking of anything leavened, we see that there was a consequence for this. Whether we think that the cutting off was throwing out of the camp, or even the destruction of the people, the death of the people that eat it, there was a consequence for disobeying Yahweh. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread. This was start the 15th day of the month after the lamb was slain on the 14th and would continue for 7 days. All of these numbers are very important, especially we know the number 7. But why unleavened bread? Why did they have to search and put away all traces of leaven in their houses? Why the harsh punishment for those who ate leavened bread during this time? Aside from this chapter and others following in the order in Scripture, there's only one mention of leaven before this, in Genesis 19:3, in which we read, "And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat," which of course is the mention or chapter dealing with the angelic visitation to Lot. Bread, of course, in ancient times was a main article of food, and today was inexpensive and plentiful. But what about leaven? What harm is there in adding leaven to the baking process? In Exodus and Deuteronomy, it tells us that neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters, or later says, in all thy coast. Pretty condemning. Unleavened bread was called the bread of affliction. We see this in Deuteronomy 16:3. Since it took less time to prepare and was less expensive, it was sometimes given to an unexpected visitor, as we see in Lot. And it remained later in history as poor man's fare, the bread of poverty. What about leaven? Well, today we get the leavening property from yeast. Those who have baked are very familiar with this, and it's not anything I really have to explain, but we buy it in a small packet purchased from the grocery store. When you add some of this to the flour mix and baking, it makes bread rise by the action of creating air pockets and fermentation in the dough. It makes sour bread or sourdough. But it is interesting to note that if you add leaven to only one part of the dough, all is affected. You never see bread that is all holes on one side and not on the other, because it spreads, because it's mixed in. I remember years ago when Amanda was young, Robin, many of the young people here, Sister Sandra, out at the Davises, had a class, and part of her class dealt with this leavening and baking process. And she had a bowl that she put the yeast in, and the children would watch it change and bubble and corrupt and change everything that was that dough previous. So they could see that how this influence is not only applicable to the baking process, but to our lives as well. The form of leaven used in bread making and in the method of using it were simple and definite. The leaven consisted always, as far as evidence goes, of a piece of fermented dough kept over from a formal baking. Not unlike friendship bread is today. And my wife explained this, is that you would save a portion of the fermented bread out, and you could either keep it like frozen or whatever, and in a bag, and add liquid to it or whatever it was. But then you would add that mix into the new dough, and it would indeed create the same process. There is no trace of the use of the other sorts of leaven, such as lees of wine or those mentioned by Pliny. The lump of dough thus preserved was either dissolved in water in a kneading trough before the flour is added, or was hid in the flour. The King James Version says meal, hid in the meal and kneaded along with it, as was the case mentioned in the parable in Matthew 13:33. In which he says, "Another parable spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." This, of course, is talking about the kingdom growing and coming in to the whole. The bread was thus made was known as leavened, as distinguished from unleavened bread that we read in Exodus 12. And you can tell the difference, because what we have today on the memorial table is unleavened bread. But the bread you eat with sandwiches and so forth, almost most of our bread, is leavened bread. Definitely can see the difference. Leaven, therefore, as we explained, is itself the offspring of corruption, and corrupts the mass of dough with which it has been mixed. It works silently, but effectively. And generally, leaven is used to denote moral corruption and false doctrine. A little leaven is our title today. This comes from a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? In Galatians 5:9, just says, in the midst of this chapter, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So let's take a look at this 5th chapter of Galatians, which is kind of interesting, because at first quick look, it seems like this remark is just kind of thrown in the middle. But when you look at this chapter, you can see that it's an integral part of this. So Paul talks of the yoke of bondage and circumcision, as the Judaizers of the day insisted on keeping the old law. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So he's talking about standing fast in their liberty, the freedom that Christ has made us, in which Christ has made us, and by not entangled with the yoke of bondage, or that those things of the law. That if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. So he goes through all of these various things. Circumcision availeth nothing, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? These are the leavening, the corrupting influences. That's why he says in here, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And they would understand this, just like we do today, because this was a very important part of their life, baking. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he shall be. And he goes on to talk about the flesh lusting against the spirit, and that these things are contrary, as we know, one to another. If you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Then he goes on again to list the corrupting influences with those things that we should cultivate. It says, For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do these things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do so such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. He which do such things are cut off. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, tells us, purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are leavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Purging out the old leaven, the things of the flesh, the things that are mentioned here, these things that fight against the Spirit, that you may be a new lump, an unleavened lump, uncorrupted, untouched by taintedness. In verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Once again, a dramatic conflict here between malice and wickedness and sincerity and truth. In Matthew 16:12, he says, they understood that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The word of God is to be kept pure, unleavened, uncorrupted. Leaven is to be put spiritually out of our houses. The ritual of searching every corner of the house occurs today in many Jewish homes. at this time of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and the preparation of Passover. Let me read something that's kind of interesting. Spring house cleaning has its roots in the Passover preparation, where 30 days before the festival, the women of every household began removing all leaven, or chametz, from their homes. According to Leviticus 13:7, as long as leaven remains in the house, one cannot celebrate Passover. This is from a Jewish perspective. It is a spiritual as well as physical cleaning. The symbolic ritual of searching for chametz, or leaven, begins at nightfall on the 14th day of the Jewish month of Nisan, the evening before the Passover. The leavened bread is removed from the household with the exception of 10 small pieces, which the woman of the house hides throughout the rooms of the house. The man of the house lights a candle and takes a feather, a wooden spoon, and a paper bag to search for leaven. When a piece is found, he uses the feather to sweep the leaven into this wooden spoon and then places it in the paper bag. This is done until all 10 pieces are found. The bread is then taken outside and burned. Afterwards, the following prayer is said: any chametz which is in my possession, which I did not see or remove, nor know about, shall be nullified and become ownerless like the dust of the earth. While it may seem a little silly and maybe more than Pharisaic to us, it does show the effort that should go into ridding our spiritual selves and ecclesia of corrupt and false doctrine. Remember, we talked about spring cleaning, when new life springs forth, but ours would be on a daily basis. In the first day there shall be an holy convocation, or sacred, sanctified, call out. Like the Israelites that would separate themselves from their life in Egypt, that would be a separation from Gentilism and their dedication unto Yahweh. We too need to scrutinize our lives in the truth. Leaven represents sin, and we have to put off the sin nature within us. Ephesians 4:21, or starting at verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Like Israel, we have the responsibility to do this, not on a seasoned time, as they were directed to, but on a daily basis, almost constantly in our lives, ridding ourselves of the corrupting influence of that little piece of leaven. And the reason that they had to search the houses and constantly, in this case, that day, clean out everything that represented leaven, because our title, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If they accidentally had kneaded in even the smallest part of an old leavened lump, the new would be corrupted. In Exodus 12, starting at verse 25, and it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he has promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Our responsibility is to do this as well, to pass the pure aspect of the truth to our children. We're not policemen in the truth, but we have to be dedicated to finding the right path and fighting against those things that are against that. In Jewish households, some of them, not all, obviously, there are four questions asked about this. It's very regimented, as we see, very Pharisaic in many respects. But when our children say, "Why do you do this? Why do you come every Sunday and meet and memorialize Christ?" We need to tell them. We need to have an answer. People bowed the head and worshiped. Leaven was to be excluded for a full period of 7 days. This may well represent the time of 7,000 years of God's plan, that the true Israelites, which we have been baptized into, will strive for perfection throughout their lives and to anticipate the day of immortality that will come, when the leaven of sin shall be entirely removed. Let us look unto this day. In preparation for our memorial portion of our service this morning, let us sing our memorial hymn 154. 'Twas on that dark and mournful night, when Jews and Gentiles joined their power against the Son of God to fight, to mock His name, His life devour. Hymn 154.
Thank you.
The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. It's not a hard job to connect the dots from what we have been talking about today regarding Passover and unleavened bread, and most of you have probably already made the jump to that or while we were even delivering our remarks. We come to memorialize today our Lord Jesus Christ, which we do on a weekly basis, as we were instructed to do. We can assuredly see the type of the sacrificial lamb relating to Christ. John 1:29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And 1 Peter 1:19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The unleavened bread is a wonderful reminder of the Messiah. Bread without corruption or sin of a personal type. Even his body out death would not decay, for Yahweh would raise him up and make him immortal. Acts 2:31. Seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Sheol, neither his face, flesh, did see corruption. While Christ was born with our nature, he did not have the sin that so easily besets us. The unleavened bread, uncorrupt, in most sense, is a perfect representation of him. He is the bread of life. John 6, starting at verse 32, says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life into the world." Verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am that bread of life," he tells us in verse 48. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." It's no mere chance that Christ instituted the memorial service at the time of Passover. And like that celebration of old, which was passed down to our children's children, we too are to remember him. We have looked at, in brief, a small aspect of this Passover service that was instituted many, many ages ago. We looked at the aspect of leaven and unleavened bread. We talked about the sacrifice of the lamb, which we related to our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we see the time of his death, the time where he would offer up himself as a sacrifice, we see from the very beginning that the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So during this time, as we take this bread and we drink this wine, we know the representations of what is set before it. "He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them," says in Luke, "saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me until I come." Let's turn to Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We'll please stand and ask Brother Mac Briley if he will offer prayer for the bread.
Gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, we humbly come in prayer before thee now at this time, ready to partake of this bread, which we know is a symbol of thy Son's body, a symbol of that body that he gave in sacrifice upon the crucifixion state. As we partake of this bread, help us to, in this moment, remember what was endured, what was suffered for our sake. Help us to remember and to be grateful for the opportunity that has been given unto us, the hope of salvation that has been provided through thy Son's sacrifice. And help us to rededicate ourselves at this time to thy service, that we might seek to only do that which is right in thine eyes, or that which is unloving in thine eyes. That we might dedicate ourselves to purging wickedness from our hearts, from our lips, from our hands, that we might always do that which is acceptable unto thee, in remembrance of thy Son, and in following after him, knowing that he, in his sacrifice, has provided for our redemption. We thank thee now, Father, and offer unto thee our praises and our prayers through the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please stand and ask our brother Dave Pirtle if he will offer prayer for the wine.
Through the waters of baptism, and that we are renewing ourselves
and that commitment to do those things as provided by Him as an example unto us. We pray for your forgiveness for our shortcomings, and we pray for the sinners turning to your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the establishment of thy kingdom upon this earth. All things that hold great and give thanks to thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and sing hymn 97, 40 days and 40 nights thou wast fasting in the wild, 40 days and 40 nights tempted and yet undefiled, after which we'll ask our brother Paul Jenkins to offer prayer.